Good morning. Welcome to the Allegiant Steam Academy special meeting of the Board of Directors, August 3rd, 2018. Call the meeting to order at 8:30 a.m. The meeting location is 5862 C Street, Chino, California, 91710. Instructions for presentations to the board by parents and citizens. Allegiant Steam Academy Thrive Charter School, also known as ASA Thrive, is a direct-funded, independent public charter school operated by the Allegiant Steam Academy Nonprofit Public Benefit Corporation and governed by the Allegiant Steam Academy Incorporated Corporate Board of Directors. The purpose of a public meeting of the board is to conduct the affairs of Allegiant Steam Academy in public. We are pleased that you're in attendance and hope you will visit these meetings often. Your participation assures us of continuing community interest in our school. Agendas are available to all audience members at the meeting. Note that the order of business on this agenda may be changed without prior notice. For more information on this agenda, please contact Allegiance at info@asathrive.org. Request to speak forms are available to audience members who wish to speak on any agenda items or under the general category of public comments. Public comments are set aside for members of the audience to comment. However, due to public meeting laws, the board can only listen to your issue and not take action. The public is invited to address the board regarding items listed on the agenda. Comments on an agenda item will be accepted during consideration of that item or prior to consideration of the item in the case of a closed session item. Please turn your comment cards to the board secretary prior to the item you wish to speak on. These presentations are limited to 3 minutes. In compliance with the Americans with Disabilities Act and upon request, Allegiant Steam Academy may furnish reasonable auxiliary aids and services to qualified individuals with disabilities. Individuals who require appropriate alternative modification of the agenda in order to participate in board meetings are invited to contact Allegiant Steam Academy. Roll call, Samantha Otto.
Here.
Raquel Rawl.
Here.
Melanie Choi.
Here.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Here.
And Andrew Vesti, I'm here. Public comments, items not on the agenda. No individual presentation shall be for more than 3 minutes. Ordinarily, board members will not respond to presentations and no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a presentation. Are there any comment cards?
There are none.
Approval of agenda for the special board meeting for August 3rd, 2018. It is recommended the board of directors approve the agenda for the special board meeting for August 3rd, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I move that we approve the agenda.
Motion Raquel, second.
I'll second.
Second Melanie. Roll call vote, Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Communications, comments from the board of directors, Samantha Otto,
I have none.
Raquel Rawl,
none.
Melanie,
just one. I was very excited to hear, note on Facebook about the teachers meetings and everything. I think we're off to a really good start. So,
thank you, Vanessa, and I have nothing. The CEO.
Right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We just a couple updates. Our Department of Justice certification or clearance has come through.
So Meredith
is going to send out the DOJ fingerprint scan form, live scan form for all of you. So expect to see that in the next few days. We'll also be sending our notice to parents regarding Title I special ed programs at the school. We'll be sending those out today. And Charter Impact, Meredith and I are working on the budget as we're learning more and more specific about our student needs. So staffing, you know, we'll have a staffing update as far as the changes to our staffing model. Both Callie and I will speak a little bit to that. And I guess, yeah, right out of the gates in that, we created the food service position. We will need an additional special education teacher that's now confirmed, along with two additional aides. So we're working with Charter Impact to make sure, you know, we can kind of absorb that into the budget, which looks like we can. As you can see by the facilities, there's plenty of work going on, quite a bit, including right now the last steps to the IT piece and the HVAC. There was a huge crane on campus yesterday putting in the new air conditioning, you know, central piece, whatever that thing's called. And we learned about ongoing plumbing work too. So we'll, I'll have a facilities meeting with CBUSD in the next few days to just kind of make sure I'm caught up on all things facilities. We're getting a lot of interest from the community, right, to come in and volunteer. It's been tricky because Chino Valley really wants us to kind of stay out of the way while they get facilities taken care of, you know. So we're do our best to let the community know we gotcha. We just have to wait to see when we got the green light to come on in. And the good news is that there'll be less to do because of all the great work that the authorizer's been doing on the campus. In addition to that, just like for the minutes to reflect that Meredith, Director of Business Services, has been added to the Wells Fargo account. She's a signer on the account now, which as a Director of Business Service, we need that to be the case. And then I think all my other updates are tied to agenda items. Well, I guess I can speak to, we had an amazing day the other day that staff came in. Most of the staff were available, and keep in mind, right, it was totally voluntary because they're, you know, out of the entire, everyone in attendance, only about five of us are actually officially working at this point. Everybody else, you know, just a volunteer to come in. And we had a great, very productive morning, a lot of awesome energy, as you should expect at this stage. And it was pretty productive. We've finalized some schedules, some daily schedules for students, the middle school team. We got everyone in their classrooms and got the chance to set up some classrooms and take some of the furniture that they needed. We rolled out some of our STEAM vision with them in addition to curriculum, and kind of laid out our technology plan as well. So it was pretty ambitious morning, and we were able to do everything we set out to do. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that as well.
Yeah, I mean, just the kind of palpable enthusiasm with everyone on the team, it was great. And everybody had really positive comments, felt really moved just by the energy that's building as we move forward. And it's been great to see teachers around and get into their classrooms, and we're gearing up.
Yeah. And then lastly, that's because it's not specifically a part of any other agenda item. When it comes to the budget, Charter Impact and I are working on the revisions based on what we're learning about our services that we have to provide. So for an example, we originally budgeted around $62,000 for specific services. We've now since more than doubled that because of what we're learning are the services we are going to be providing our students. So that's an adjustment, right? That needs to be made. And that's outside of staffing. That's not even staff, talking about the additional aides we had to add or the third special education teacher to be compliant with the caseload cap. So these are the adjustments that are ongoing now. So we'll present that to you once it's kind of set. That's it, right?
Yeah, and we're just continuing to look into contracting also for services for special education as we go through those IEPs and find out exactly what we will have in place on day one for our students.
That's it. All right, busy. Thank you. Next up, item scheduled for... What's that?
Question.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
When you're talking about the line item that's like doubling approximately, is that for, since it's on staff, are we talking like machinery? Can you give us any insight?
Yeah, so we don't, I'm glad you asked it to clarify that. So we don't staff an occupational therapist, for example, right? That's the type of service, right?
Gotcha. Yeah, so just not full-time staff, you're saying?
Right. Okay. So, staffing we had to adjust as well, the additional special education teacher. But outside of that, the services... adaptive PE, occupational therapy, a couple of others that were not, we didn't build a staffing model that included staffing those positions at this time. So those all fall under these additional services,
okay.
Right?
Thank you.
And that's what has more than doubled in the budget. Yeah.
Thanks.
All right, item scheduled for consent, minutes for the special meeting of the Board of Directors on July 13, 2018, and the minutes for the regular meeting of the Board of Directors on July 26, 2018. Do I have a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion.
Motion Sam, second?
I'll second.
Second Vanessa, roll call vote. Samantha Odo?
Aye.
Raquel Rawl?
Aye.
Melanie Choi?
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto?
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Items scheduled for discussion and our action. First up is the 2020 school calendar for Liege and STEAM Academy Thrive. Does anyone have any questions?
This is closer to what CBUSD's calendar
Yes. Yeah, there's a couple of things that are off. Like we have the on the weekend of Easter, which is in April. CBUSD takes the Friday, and we have the Monday concurrent with what we have this year.
Okay.
And maybe one other day that sort of switched like that, but yeah, very similar. And they have a 180-day calendar. We have 177, so we have an extra a professional development day or two in there.
Okay. So is there any reason why we don't have the Good Friday off and are taking the day after
Easter? I'm just
asking
just
for the sake of,
yeah.
Because if people do religious activities, sometimes Good Friday is the day where they would do it, and not so much the day after.
Yeah, I think when we were making the calendar for this year, someone on the team had mentioned that they were in the past had the Monday after Easter off, so that's why this calendar reflects that. But it can be switched to Friday.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. That's
any other questions, comments? So it is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the 2019-2020 school calendar for Allegiant STEAM Academy Thrive. A motion to approve.
I'll make a motion.
Motion Vanessa, second.
I'll second.
Second Sam. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesey, aye. Number two, the Allegiant STEAM Academy Board Recruitment and Selection Process. Everyone's had a chance to read. That came directly from our charter petition. Any questions, comments? No. It is recommended the Board of Directors adopt and approve the Allegiant STEAM Academy Board Recruitment and Selection Process. Do I have a motion?
I'll motion.
Motion Sam to approve. Second?
I'll second.
Second Melanie. Roll call vote. Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto. And Andrew Vesti, aye. Number three, the Allegiant STEAM Academy Chief Executive Officer Evaluation Process. More questions? Comments?
So who's going to be the point person for the evaluation?
All five of us.
So the board?
Yeah.
Board.
So this is... because it's a new document and we can work on it through the year if we want to make any changes and look at other evaluations.
Right. The thing that I would push for is that it's in most cases the evaluation is often forgotten and then rushed at the end of the school year, right? Like, oh yeah, we forgot to evaluate the CEO, scramble to put something together. So in best practice for the entire organization, right, is to kind of have an annual process. So that's why I just laid out a draft of that. Again, revisions should be made, you should have a say in that. But I just kind of took the job description, some best practices out there, and then created this attempt at more of an annual evaluation process rather than a, one-time deal in this late spring because, the year's coming up.
How are we, maybe
there's
something you're talking about, Andrew, later, but how are we thinking of involving teachers and that sort of thing, people who are actually maybe interacting with the CEO more than we might be in a different capacity, especially if we're talking about working with the students? And then my other recommendation would be to have some form of self-evaluation in addition to that we can have, like, and have him evaluate himself, and so we can kind of see what he thinks and then compare with what we're coming up with, and then allow the input from staff. And
we can at my job they have peer evaluations, mm-hmm. So and subordinate evaluation, so we could also send something out to the teachers and staff probably like mid-year. My goal is to constantly evaluate Dr. Cognetta just because it's year one, you know what I mean, and everybody's so new at these positions. So we can come up with something to send out to staff, like around Christmas break, and then just make it available to parents, you know, on the website, and that would be voluntary, but staff make it mandatory to return.
And the current draft has one form for both the board and then what is identified as direct reports, right? Anybody who works in the organization. It doesn't have to be that way, but right now this first draft is that, right? There's one evaluation document, so we're getting the same input from all stakeholders. It doesn't have to be that way, but that's just the way it's drafted right now. Yeah, and I have some ideas too, if especially from the community, you know. So if it's voluntary, right, I could, if you guys were to approve it, add in my, like, for example, both on the website and in my email signature, always an opportunity for feedback specific to things you're looking for. So you're kind of constantly collecting data on that. Just an idea, right? We can get into the weeds later, but.
Right, but I don't know if you're the NC who should be controlling that or where it goes, right? Are you saying, like, it would just go to some, like,
right,
survey or whatever,
exactly,
and have that populated?
Right, it doesn't necessarily be, it wouldn't be me controlling it. It would just, like, interactions with me, like an email from me would lead, you know, give you the opportunity as a parent to give feedback, just so it's constant, you know? There's not just one-time opportunities. There's, you know, there's pros and cons to that, but it's just an idea.
No, I mean, I think that's fine. I just want to make sure we're clear on that. And so I guess my vision is that the board would oversee the entire thing, but there are different entities that are going to be giving that input, and we could maybe summarize that and also give different pieces. But I think it's important to have it from different lenses.
Absolutely.
The perspective of the CEO, because everyone has a different perspective and a different interaction. I think it's important to get a full picture, not just for us, so we know for our school, but for him as well, wanting to be the best, you know, professional that he can be, and that sort of thing. My last question on this is this tied to anything as far as, like, gift at the end of the year? You know, sometimes you have,
No, because he doesn't have that.
For him to do better, not just, like, this is indicative of a bonus or, like.
Yeah, because we didn't approve any of that in his contract, so it's just required by the board, and I think it will be a work in progress.
Yeah.
But I'll try to get, they do a lot of the 360 evaluations, like on our executives. And I'll try to get those, because those are good, because you get feedback from everybody. So, so do I have a motion to approve this draft, and then we can revisit this, well, soon, because before you know it, Christmas break will be here.
Yeah.
I'll make a motion to approve this draft.
All right. Motion, Vanessa, a second?
I'll second.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote, Samantha Odo.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Next up, the internal dispute resolution policy. Everyone's had a chance to read it. Is there, any questions? Comments? So do I have a motion to adopt? Oh, go ahead. Oh, my bad.
I did have, so this is exclusive of any, like, complaints of sexual harassment, anything like that, right? Because it talks about, like, basically statute of limitations, and I know that there are different statute of limitations or things of that nature. So I just want to make sure this is
like,
separate
from that. So if someone has a complaint about pupil fees, right? So us charging something or feeling that we shouldn't be charging and they make a complaint. It's stuff like that.
So I didn't know if that is something we want to put a bullet or asterisk just to let people know this is different from that.
We have the discrimination policy, which determines what falls under that.
Right, but let's, you know, say that people aren't reading all these different things. They don't know, like, who takes the time to say, okay, which complaint do I want? I see a complaint, I'm making a complaint. And then also, where do they find the complaint report that this talks about? Where would that be? Is that on the website? Or?
Yeah, we would have a form available on the website that has to be available to the public, or to, and to staff, obviously.
And then when we talk later about, like, the process when people are, like, interviewing witnesses and that sort of thing, just, I'm curious as to the training that people have to go about that and making sure that that's done, you know, according to whatever policies of, you know, privacy and all these different things that happen. Does that happen during school hours, non-school hours, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, and then that that level, so the policy gets approved right here, and then it would be the onus is on us as you know the administration to get
so
the procedures
in line.
That's
a later thing for procedure.
Right.
But I do think something to say like what types of complaints are complaints of
gotcha.
Some magnitude.
Yeah.
I think that would be helpful just because
yeah. it. I think that list is going to be way too long. Because the discrimination policy clearly defines on what is
under that.
Yeah, under that policy, and then this is pretty much anything else.
I hear what you're saying, but what I'm saying is if someone just wants to complain about something, they have a complaint, and they don't understand that we have a discrimination policy, and they don't know these different things, what's to...
If someone's going to complain about something, they're just going to go to the staff or a board member and say, hey, this is my complaint, and it's upon us to take the necessary action. It's, I mean, the list could be so exhaustive, and then if we miss something, I think that can come back and bite us.
But I don't know that we need to list all of them if we said that these are complaints not including the discrimination policy, then that would say like the other things fall into that category, right? Because is there any other category that we have outside of those? Main pockets.
Can you think of any specific policies?
Right, that's what I'm going through, racking my brain on those. Also just considering, you know, how do other organizations do that, right?
I mean, just reading this, which I understand this is a policy, you know, we want to get passed and that sort of thing, but it just says if you have a complaint about the school, this is what you do. It doesn't say what that complaint is, and if I'm coming in, I have no knowledge that there are different types of complaints.
Yeah.
You need to fill out a different form. This is what I'm doing. This is
yeah.
where I'm going. And so I'm just wanting to make sure that we are clear
yeah.
As early as possible as we can be that this is for this, you know, and that
gotcha,
sort of thing.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that that's I don't know.
Yeah, and the onus is really on staff and on leadership to be able to discern when is it a complaint that meets kind of the threshold of utilizing this, right? And when, you know, if someone's complaining about the color of our shirts or something, then that's not going to trigger the use of this policy. So the onus is really on us and staff to be able to know at least where to go and then for us to discern, okay, this is at the level that requires the policy's response, whereas this is a conversation between me and you that you have a concern about recess time or something, right? Or like, yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so if a person comes and does something to a staff or something, I'm assuming that the staff or a teacher would know to say, oh, no, this is not where you need to, this is not the specific complaint to address. It's going to be for this, whether sexual discrimination or harassment or whatever. Right? Or I'm thinking they wouldn't directly go onto the website to do it. My first thing would think a parent would talk to a teacher first,
or a
staff member.
Sure. Yeah.
And then that staff member should know which complaint needs to
be. Well, a teacher shouldn't be. If a teacher gets a complaint, they should direct the complaint to the CEO or to a board member if it's about the CEO. They shouldn't be. Dealing with stuff like that.
Well, or if by chance a parent does do this on the website or such, wouldn't somebody still...
Well, they wouldn't be able to do it on the website. The form would be on the website.
Oh, well, the form. But wouldn't they go back and say, well, this is the wrong form and direct them to the correct...
Well, every time, I mean, with my prior board experience, any complaint that the school got, it just was an email from the complainant to the CEO or whoever. There was not an actual form. So, and that's how most people are going to do it. If they have a complaint about something, they're just going to deal with, I think if we start getting so restrictive on policies, then it ties your hands. And if same parents don't really know, well, yeah, they're just going to walk up to an employee and say, hey, I have a complaint about this. The staff should tell them, okay, please put it in writing, in email, or however, or handwrite it, or do whatever, and then they investigate it. But I don't think there needs to be a procedure on handle. I mean, I've investigated a million things, and even in a police department, we don't have a procedure on how to investigate a theft. Like, you just know based on your training and experience how you investigate a theft.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, trying to categorize every different type of complaint would be very difficult and such. And, I mean, and like my thing is, more than likely, the parents may need to, like you said, via email or come to a staff member or a teacher or someone and verbally do the complaint or just send an email.
If there's parents that feel so terrified to talk to our CEO, we have a problem. And it's something that we would have to address, so, or any staff member.
I think it's important to understand, too, that some people just don't verbally express conflict, right? That things, certain cultures, certain genders, whatever, like there's studies that show that. So they might have a written form. And so my point of clarification is not to be restrictive, but to be clear. Like, it's not totally clear to me that this is the form you use for these things and not this thing. And so I'm not debating whether or not, you know, how we go about doing the procedure. That's not what I'm saying, because I understand what Sebastian is saying. Like, they will come up with the procedure and the process and that sort of thing. And what you're saying about people are trained. I just was asking about this interview process, because this is something that might be not totally integral to what a teacher does on a day-to-day basis, right? And so then having to go and start doing interviews, or even CEO, and I'm sure maybe he has experience doing that. And so that was just a personal clarification question for me, like, oh, are we clear with that? And so I think it's just clearing this up, the language. That's my thing. I'm not trying to be restrictive. I just think the language is not totally clear, if people are to read it or not. And I'm not saying parents are not going to be informed. I'm just saying if you didn't know, and you just go looking for something like, how do I do this, then it's not totally clear that this is the one you use versus another. So that's what I'm saying. I'm not trying to restrict us to any policy or any procedure. I just want to make sure what we're putting out there is clear for our audience and for its use for its intended purpose. So.
And your guys' experience, how... Like in the parent packet, do you guys give them something on if you have a complaint, or you just deal with it at a parent meeting if you get you know, if they have a complaint, they need to come to, or they should come to so and so.
Yeah, and it usually, I mean, you're educating the community on that in the moment. You know, yes, the resources are all there on the website, they're in the charter, or you know, the reference to the charter, it's out there, the language, the resources out there for the community to access. But over, because you cannot control what an individual in the community will do or won't do, it's in the moment of that complaint or whatever that you're actually educating them on our policy, right? So that's just been my experience, and which may suggest that, you know, just it wasn't pushed out enough to understand it. But this is one of those ideas, where this is one of those areas where you want to make sure the public has access and knows where to find information, but we don't want the onus to be on them on knowing exactly how to execute a complaint, right? That is really on us, you know, on staff. And you're right, it's not going to be a teacher's job to do so. A teacher's job is going to be to know who they should send the person to, right? And we're working with staff on that. But a lot of it just does come with educating the individual with a concern in the moment about what we do, right? And
so how about... Well, I'll make a motion. We'll table this. I think part of it is not having what form that the complainant will have to fill out. So if maybe we can get that and get it, then we could probably have it ready for the next board meeting.
Yeah.
That way, it's this can get approved.
Okay.
So do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second, Sam. So, roll call vote. Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti. Aye. Contract for services related to professional development. We received two quotes. We have RDG Solutions. Going to be here for a presentation. Welcome.
Yay, 3 minutes only.
Take your time.
Very excited to be here. And first, I want to say, what a great job these kids are doing. They are ready for school. Very exciting. And what a great job you parents are doing, considering this is something all new to everybody, right? Starting a school, that's pretty exciting. I have 4 kids of my own, and I wish I had time to start school. this is, and that's the best part, is that you're making it, you know, what you want, what they want, what's best for the kids, and what's best for your community. So my name is Brandy Ramirez, and I am here representing RDG. I have been a teacher for 18 years. The last 5 years, I've been an instructional coach. And currently, I'm working as director of instruction for Tutor IQ, which is a subdivision of Age of Learning, which works with abcmouse.com. So if you've heard of that. But I also work with RDG, and we basically find solutions for educators and schools and various organizations that meet the needs of what you need. So we started with...
Am I clicking?
Thank you. And so you have the overall, what it is a two-week summer intensive institute for your teachers, and basically focusing on STEAM, language, and then all of the NGSS standards. So RDG has a multitude of educators that work in various venues, such as special ed teachers, NGSS teachers. So we have a group of educators that can really help us tailor what you need for your organization. These are some of the partnerships that we've worked with. We really think it's important to not just give you, you know, here's a one-pager, which we did, but, no, I'm just kidding. Here is a one, you know, one-size-fits-all PD versus really, which is professional development, which is really tailoring it to specifics. And so these are some of the partnerships that we have: New Tech Network, Avis and Schools and their Global Leadership Academy, Asia Society of International Studies of School Networks, Encinitas Union School District, and Tustin Unified School District. Tustin is where I worked, and RDG and their group of educators came in and trained all of the instructional coaches, is where I was an instructional coach. And the original focus was on how to integrate technology in the classrooms with curriculum and for teachers. And then it evolved into just really focusing on individual needs at the school sites and what they needed, with embedded professional development through instructional coaching. So that is one of our biggest areas that we focus on, is that it's important to have those overall professional developments, but then to then support your teachers throughout the year with what they're doing, with everything you focused on, with everything they learned, and then how is that affecting their instruction, and most importantly, how is that benefiting your children? So these are the three phases. The first one, I think, is the only one right now that's on the table. Is that correct? So phase one is for our Summer Institute intensive training. And then phase two, it would be that embedded professional development throughout the year with instructional coaching, additional professional development throughout staff meetings or whenever you find it important to have those. And then also creating curriculum resources to support STEAM and STEAM careers. One of my biggest initiatives the last 2 years in my school district was to create innovation labs, and so which can be STEAM labs. It depends where you are. People call them different things, but makerspace, STEAM labs, innovation labs, basically places for students to take what they're learning, but then understand why they're learning that, and then put it, you know, hands-on, creating, innovating, and being truly 21st century learners. So the first one we can click at, yeah. So this just gives you kind of a picture of what RDG helped us do. And so, it's a little large, but basically it just shows you, they helped me create three different ways to navigate an innovation space, which is independently with real-world simulations, and then design challenges. So we created a monthly design challenge for the entire school. So the entire school was doing one STEAM challenge a month. And what was so cool is you would hear kids, you know, families would say, oh my gosh, it was the talk of the dinner, you know, dinner of last night. My fourth grader was talking to my first grader about how they created art bots, or how they created a bridge to get the billy goat across. So these are just pictures of what the space looked like. It was empty, and then they helped create all of this wonderful learning environment for the kids. And if you click up top, this is some of examples of the curriculum.
Where do I want to go?
This is something that's happening down in San Diego right now. It's called Connect the Work. And basically, it's looking at students' strengths, interests, and values, and taking those and really helping them gain insight and giving them exposure to what's going on in the world around them. And more than just, you know, I want to be a fireman, I want to be a teacher, it's more like, okay, these are what I'm good at, this is what I have strengths in, this is what's important to me, and wow, these are all the jobs that are out there. So it's a really, really cool curriculum that takes these, it's called the RIASEC, and you basically focus on one area at first. So you might do a month where you're focusing on R, which is realistic. You expose the kids to all the different things that are going on in that world. And with it, we have performance tasks or different activities that they can do to just experience that. And then we go on to the next one. And there's also a quick into assessment that you can give students that allow them to find out kind of what their strengths, interests, and values are based on that quick assessment. And then you learn about all of these different areas connecting the work to STEAM, to science, to, you know, the real world. So it's a wonderful program as well, and I'm just sharing it with you just to share. And then we've got the iLab stations. They set up the STEAM lab or innovation lab or iLab with different areas, so that it was almost like rotations or stations where kids could come in and connect what they're learning in the classroom and then how that relates to the STEAM lab. So it's not just, they're not separate of, you know, you go to a STEAM lab and you can only do that in the STEAM lab versus, you know, we're doing this in our classroom and then here's how you're actually physically doing it and creating. So we've got creating, building, and assembling, programming, robotics, and coding, research, writing, publishing, reflecting, video and sound production, and then choice. And the choice station was where we integrated that Connect the Work piece of their what they're passionate about, what their strengths are, and what they're interested in. And so those are all created. They're things that you can use or help whatever works for you. And then the next one is the design challenges. And these are examples of you choose what your process is. I'm sure you've already created one as a board and as a school. This is the one we worked from. But basically, each one has a slide deck that goes with, I'm sure why they're not loading, but with a question or a challenge. And then teachers are able to use these slide decks in their classrooms and then come in and actually do the work in the lab. So just another example of some of the curriculum that we've created. And then the last two are just Thrively. That's where the assessment comes from. And RDG works with Thrively to provide that as another additional resource or service with whatever contracts that we're working with. And this is the one that I was saying has the kids take a quick assessment. And usually the assessment starts about second grade, but we do the Connect the Work with kindergartners and first graders. So it's, but the assessment is more just a little bit older than K-1. But we do expose them to all of the information as well in kindergarten and first. So.
And they're actually coming out with K-1.
Yeah, they are. They're working on it. That was a big feedback to the founder of Thrively, was that we wanted it for everybody. So very cool. The last thing is just information, so where you can find us. And these are just some examples. We did the Connect the Work program we partnered with a foundation this summer, in Tustin Public Schools Foundation, and we had a class for students to attend. It was a two-week session, and we had some really positive feedback from it. Kids were excited, parents were excited. It was something taking all of those elements of STEAM and then, you know, connecting it to the real world and what's going on, and wow, I didn't know, and this is amazing, and so it was very, very fun. We also work, like I said, Thrively, and then GoPollock is part of our additional resources that come with it, and then WriteBrain, which is a writing piece and a creative writing piece that goes with it as well. So,
one thing I wanted to add, especially going into year one, is we're not really looking. When we back up, when we wrote the startup grant, you know, we were real intentional about professional development being not your traditional PD, right? When someone comes in, does a training, and then they leave, you know, and so on. We're looking for more of a partnership. In year one, with so much going on and opening the school, it's easy to get bogged down and miss the opportunities. And well, what are the great practices that are happening in the world that, you know, we would miss by not having a partner that is going to bring those resources to us? So we're interested in, yeah, in a partnership that each of those that Brandon shared, if I'm not mistaken, those sites were developed collectively with their partner. It wasn't RDG walking in saying, you guys are going to do RISEC and you guys are going to do that, and that's what we sell. Like, now, you know, like a year from now, 2 years from now, there could be an additional tab of whatever we were potentially developed together, right, at Allegiance. And it would be unique to us. So that's an important sort of trait we're looking for in a PD partner, you know, professional development partner.
So the last slide, I think, is he has actually a TED Talk that you can check out. It's talking about having, you know, students being having their own network, basically a professional learning network for students and for kids. That's one thing he mentions in there. We had Techsperts at our school site, and our site was K-5, and so we took the oldest group of kids and we trained them. They had to apply, they filled out applications online, they demonstrated what they could do, and then they were chosen based on all of their applications and their expertise, and then they were our Techsperts, and basically they signed up to meet with a teacher once a week, and they worked with that teacher the entire year, and so they were helping integrate technology and STEAM challenges throughout the year by going in, meeting with the teacher, seeing what she needed, helping with small group of students, helping with the whole class. They were presenting. They were amazing. Last year was our third year doing it, and I'm going to miss those kids this year because they were pretty awesome. And at the end of the school year last year, you know, I had people like, what do I have to do to be a Techsperts? And that, you know, they write me letters and stuff, and I'm like, no, just be you and do your thing. The biggest takeaway from that, which I thought was just so heartwarming, I thought it, in the beginning, 3 years ago, I thought it was about the technology. You know, they're going to get to play on apps, and they're going to, it'll be great, and it'll be a nice experience for the teachers who aren't sure what to do. They can help them. And they all said their biggest thing was, it had nothing even with that. It was about that they gained confidence speaking in front of other people. They learned how to be more organized based on getting to their classrooms when they needed to help support that teacher. And so it was really cool. And then they were like, and I love the technology. So it was a, you know, all in one, but it was a really great program also. And it's something I would highly suggest if you needed any help with that. It's a great program for kids and teachers. So that's it. Let me know if you have any other questions.
Yeah, I have a question. So the focus of this was primarily what I would assume is phase three, more so.
Could
you speak to some of more of the phase one, since that's the only thing
One, yes. Thanks, sorry. Thank
no,
you.
I know.
I'm so excited about that.
The
first one is the intensive program for the teachers this summer before they go back. So it's really to get them focused on what they're going to be teaching and what their instruction will be for the year. So based on what you need and you want for your teachers and for your kids, and what Dr. Pinata wants as well, that is what we'll focus on. So we will create it however you want it. So if it's NGSS and STEAM and your lab, we can focus on that. We can train them in the lab. We can train them on your world studies things. Whatever you need, we can create it. We can use your curriculum. We can also help create curriculum with you if you want it to be your own entity. So honestly, it's really whatever you need. So,
and what is the creation time for that? Understanding that this is a 2-week intensive and school starts.
We've got people today ready to go. If we can set up what the expectations are and what you need, we can get it done. So, what day does school start? Maybe I should ask that. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. This month. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
No.
And we have an idea of what that could look like. We're not going to put teachers in a full day training. We're going to create small opportunities for for our STEAM lab teachers and our kind of cohorts, right? Our middle school teachers, our upper elementary, our primary grades. So what we envision is working intensively with the team so that they're basically have another thought partner in their planning, which we're giving them time across the 2 weeks to do. So Brandy would
be
here.
So, yeah, it's not like 2 weeks of all day because they have a million things to do, but it's where we can come in and work in the morning with them, and then they go and you know, so however it you need it to be, we can help support in that way.
And how many consultants will be coming to?
Depends on how many, whatever.
You need.
Yeah. I mean, for the most part right now, we have one individual who is extremely well-versed in NGSS and STEAM. Mm-hmm. He helped create all of the STEAM, the RIASET, the Connect the Work piece that are all the STEAM and NGSS related performance. He calls them performance tasks, but they're activities, slide deck of hands-on experiences for the kids. But it just really depends on what you need.
So this price point that is being proposed, that's inclusive of if you bring 20 people with you or just two people, that's inclusive of all materials?
Well, it depends on that. There is a day rate, so it depends on like what you need. Like, depends on how many people and what the focus is. So we would definitely meet with Dr. Cunyata and figure out what the staff looks like and then what the needs are and then how many we can provide. So if we needed more consultants for one day, then it wouldn't necessarily be 10 days. Does that make sense? Because based on what their price point
so
is for the day rate.
Mm-hmm. More consultants.
You put them all, right.
And when you say a day, is there an hour? So if they only come for 3 hours, are we paying the same fee as if they were here for 8 hours?
I think that I can find that out for you. I don't want to misrepresent money, especially when. So let me. I can find that out for you, based on again, like what the plan is for what the instruction will be. So I will find that out. So you want to know next steps, day rate, if it's 3 hours or more, what the cutoff is for a half a day or a full day.
Well, just the specifics, because we're starting up, so money, we're watching the
money. Right.
So we want to be very clear. If, you know, it's a full day, and I understand what you guys are saying. We don't want them to sit all day. But will we pay the same fee if they sit here 8 hours? Because then maybe we can get creative with that versus 3 hours. And if you bring 20 people versus two people, what's the price difference?
Right.
And that, we need to know all the nuances of that.
I can get that for you today.
And I feel like I have a pretty good scope of that. You know, a consultant being here for 6 to 8 hours, whatever that day of support is how I see a day, their daily rate. That can clarify then where that half-day threshold is. My experience is there is a half day. If it's, you know, if it's $2,500 a day then and they work 3 hours, usually what I've seen is, well, they're going to invoice for half. But we'll have Brandy clarify that. If there's a day where we need four consultants here, that's 4 days, right? But this contract would not exceed the approved cost, right? So if that's all swallowed up in 2 days, then that's what it is, right? So five consultants over 2 days, then that's the support we would receive. So there are scenarios because we're looking at all the other things that need to go into the 2 weeks, right? But what I would like to see is, you know, as much as possible those 2 weeks, a team of consultants available to our team, and then us planned out when they're using them, and then when they're available to them, should teachers want more time with them as well.
And maybe ask you to clarify your timeline, recognizing that we start school, you know,
27.
And then we only have the window. I just want to be realistic, because in order for us to get the most done in our staff, you guys need to be prepared and have enough time to do it. I don't want to take that anyway. So
absolutely,
be creative on what other days.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I will get clarification on the labels for you. Okay. Great questions. Okay, thank you very much.
Does anyone have any questions for Sebastian regarding action learning systems?
I was curious, do you know if they would do anything regarding like culturally relevant pedagogy at all?
With,
I didn't see anything in there, even like the research they had.
Yeah, I don't know. It wasn't in the scope of the startup grant, and I don't know if that organization has expertise in that. I know of organizations that do, so that's something we wanted to look at. Probably wouldn't be in phase one, right? But we can look at in phase two, and I could probably talk to Brandy and see if that's an area that they have consultant expertise in.
And then for the prices, when we're talking about like the academic learning teams, is there a reason? Because it says the packets are $20 each, but then it has a 25 times $10. So is that one?
That's a good question.
Or is that a typo? Or?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what.
Because they have a number of typos, so if that's something to care about.
Yeah. But, yeah. My understanding is that the Action Learning's full-day trainings are good content, right? They're not very customizable, right? They've invested their time and energy in putting together solid day trainings, and that's what they would get, would deliver. But if we were to say, hey, look, well, we don't really want that two-hour piece on this. We'd rather it go in this direction. I don't know how much flexibility there is there. That's a concern. But the quality of the content, I'm not worried about. It's just the flexibility, right?
And then this would be for summer as well. It's like 3 days.
Yeah, so this is not an and. This is an or kind of conversation, right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so.
Question. So it will be over the summer, too, if this is what comes.
This is in the same time frame.
And then with the different subgroups, like the K-12, folks, 3-5, are these happening concurrently? So do you envision, like, okay, in this room we have K through second, and this, or is it just like everyone's going?
So the way that, outside of professional development providers, the way the 2 weeks are organized is we're only putting people in the room that need to be in that room. So there are sessions that are all staff, and then there are breakout sessions that are specific to who needs to be there. That's how the 2 weeks will run. And then in several of those sessions, you know, a provider would be used. Right? And a lot of those sessions are facilitated by us.
And then is there any long-term or continuing content we would have access to based off of this? Or is it just that and it's done?
From Action Learning, I'm not aware of that. I think it's, you know, we get the expertise and whatever content they provide on that day, the training materials. But I'm not aware of them sort of co-developing, you know, curriculum with you and then we own it. Kind of thing. It really is kind of the niche is strong PD. Special training, and that's the reputation. Not so much about let's develop a lab together and see where it goes, right?
Any other questions?
So, are we just at a point where we're looking into approving phase one for the time being, but then as time goes on, we consider and talk about
right? Yeah, so the only thing on the table is phase one, right, which is right now. And remember how the grant works. It needs to be not the actual transaction, but the invoice for the work has to happen. And phase one ends August 27th, first day of school. So we're only discussing that. So one of the reasons, you know, for RDG being at the table is we had collectively talked about phase one being just a piece of the larger partnership, right, which you asked the questions about. So what happens first, right? So it's that foundational work first, right? NGSS understanding, right? The possibilities of what a lab could entail, the collaboration across general education, you know, with the lab, all the things, the discussions we're having now, but we're going to benefit from having expertise of others, right? My concern is just becoming very insular really quickly, right? And just our best answers are the best things we realize when we can have access to even greater resources through, you know, partnership.
Any other questions, comments? Anyone want to make a motion?
So do we wait for her to get back to us on?
We have to make a decision,
yeah,
because we don't have a board meeting,
right,
until
board meeting before,
unless you
so.
Want to come back one more time before professional development starts.
No, and just, you know, RDG is who helped us write the grant, right? And I can confidently answer that. Like, they will be flexible. They work 3 hours. We're not building. We're not paying for a full day. And B, they will not bill us for a full day. That's not, I know that's not Brandy's area. She doesn't work in that. But I'm familiar enough to confidently say that won't be the case. We won't pay for a full day of service for half day work.
For RDG, is there like a limit on how many, I guess, teachers? Because on the other one, there was like,
right,
it was based on 25 participants.
Right.
Is that the same?
No. What they'll do is just say, if we were a staff of 100,
mm-hmm,
they would tell us, like, look, don't put 100 people in the room, right?
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But there's not that cap,
okay,
per se.
I guess I hear that we have to make a decision. I'm just always concerned if we don't have something in writing, like things can change. Even the best folks who they are, you know, always been straight and narrow and that sort of thing. And so just putting that out there.
Yeah.
If we don't have it in writing, we don't really, I mean, they can't hold us anything. We can't hold them to anything. So.
Yeah, I mean, that is a fair concern, but I do think, you know, given the timeline of it, and that if we don't approve one of these today, right, contract, we will miss the window to have this in place by the end of phase one.
Is there a way for us to, if we approve this today, is there a way for us to get something in writing from them very soon?
Yeah,
stating that.
I can reach out to them today and say we need the invoice template with what a half day rate looks like in a full day.
And just a little bit more detailed information versus just one. I mean, so I'm just looking at this one. Okay, they just put down this and then $25,000.
Yeah.
What do we get for?
Yeah, and I know one of the reasons for that is because it is co-developed with us, right? Mm. Rather than purchasing a $25,000 of PD and here's what you get. You know. But okay, I can get specificity on the daily and half rate, anything else we want.
So, what do you guys want to do? What's the date today?
The third.
Today's the third. When does professional development start?
13th.
Did you work with them previously, Edison?
Yeah.
I mean, I did like what she said in regards to they're pretty flexible as far as it doesn't have to be a full day, you know, because that was my one of my concerns. Like, that's 2 weeks. Just the teacher's not being able to do what they need to do to get prepared for the school year. So, I mean, I like that. And if they are, you know, they're not going to charge us the $2,500 for 3 hours for work. I prefer what is this, ALS systems? I'm a little worried because there's only 3 days in this. Is it just 3 days of them training and stuff? We're done. See ya. And not help in the fall for them. Because obviously, I'm sure there's going to be more additional questions from teachers and such after the fact. Because more of those questions come about once the kids are in school.
And I know they're a niche group. They don't say yes to every partnership out there. They look for partnerships, right? And they'd rather kind of stay the in and out than become the McDonald's, right? They want sort of the small partnership that they feel that they can also benefit from. So they actually have said no to contracts, right? So pretty sizable ones because it didn't necessarily match the philosophical matches or something. Or it was just a service that they know that they wouldn't provide as well as they could. So, you know, and we have experience working together just this year on the grant itself. And then, I'm familiar with the work both at Avison and with the Asia Society. And their reputation is that. They roll up their sleeves and do the work with you, you know. So.
And Sebastian, it says contract not to exceed
right.
$25,000. So if for some reason
we utilize
8 consultant days or 7.
Right.
Then
exactly.
We're not like bound
not.
By it.
I just think the general principle of approving something you don't know what you're technically approving is not a good problem.
So would you like to make a motion to table it? Because we have to make a decision.
Well, I know you have to make a decision. That's why I'm waiting, and I'll just do my nay, I guess, because I understand exactly what you're saying, that we need to get this done. I just think it's not a good practice to approve when we don't have it.
But you can also make a motion to table it. We can call a special board meeting so we can answer your questions. I'm not going to just approve it to approve it. If you have serious questions, we'll get those answered and we'll call another meeting.
Can you see him?
No, he's away.
We can't call somebody right now.
He's not available. I know that. It's, or else he would have been here.
But,
And is the question around just the rate? Is that the necessary clarification? What does the daily or half rate look like? Just to kind of clarify that.
I think, well, I need to talk for 5 minutes, but I think the daily rate, the number of consultants, what it entails, I think just more.
She wants like a line item detail of what. So I'll make a motion that we table this and we can call a special board meeting so we can get these questions answered because we have some wiggle room. And we just have to do it early next week. So do I have a second?
I'll second.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote. Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto. And Andrew Vesti, aye. So this has been tabled. Next up, contract with Apple Store for Education Institution for purchase of technology for staff and students. Do you want to speak to the questions that they had last week?
Yeah, last week one of the questions was whether Optiva would charge us for purchases outside of that. And that same day, actually, from the CEO, from Steve, the answer is no. He's not going to charge us. We're free to purchase from wherever we want. And Optiva is not going to charge us a fee for not purchasing through them. In fact, Optiva looked at the Newegg quote and said it was the deal to go with, right, when it comes to the Chromebooks. In Apple, yeah, you're going to get. We looked at Best Buy, and because of we're still waiting on our 501c3 clearance, then that we were not able to start that nonprofit business account with them, so we can, you know, capitalize on the Best Buy piece. So it's the same quote regarding Apple technology, but the Chromebook quote is significantly different than what we first showed, thanks to Ross, who did some work with Newegg Business on getting us more Chromebooks for the same cost that we were budgeting for. You know, it's nearly, you know, 70 more Chromebooks than we were. More than 70 more than we were budgeting for. Again, that will allow us to realize our one-to-one initiative with 7th and 8th graders and outfit all classrooms with a number of Chromebooks that, from STEAM Lab to music, drama, every classroom will have technology, both Chromebook and then Apple products. And again, this is part of phase one in the startup grant as well.
Any other questions regarding the purchase from Apple? So do I have a motion to adopt and approve the contract with Apple Store for Education Institution?
I'll make the motion.
Motion Sam, a second.
I'll second.
Second Vanessa. Roll call vote, Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Next up, contract with Newegg Business for purchase of technology for students. Questions? No? Thank you, Ross.
Yes, huge thank you.
So do I have a motion to adopt and approve the contract with Newegg Business?
I'll make a motion.
Melanie?
Yes.
Second?
I'll second.
Second, Sam. Roll call vote, Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Before we do the adjournment, you guys available on Monday morning?
Sure.
We just need a quorum, so.
Yeah. I'm good.
Everybody's available? Tuesday? Well, don't say that.
Nope.
What about Tuesday morning?
I can do
Wednesday
Tuesday.
Morning?
I can't do Wednesday.
I'll be up till
When do they come? August what?
13th. Staff. Evening of August 6th, we're doing an info night for parents.
Yeah.
I don't know if the afternoon works for some of you.
Well, if someone wants to run a board meeting, because I work, so.
I know.
What day is everybody available?
I'm good Monday and Tuesday.
What about Thursday morning?
Thursday.
What about Thursday night? I think it's important that you're there because you're the one with the questions. You guys could do it any day of the week in the evening. I just won't be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
You're not here on Monday? Are you thinking Monday?
Yeah, we could do it at 7 o'clock on...
I'm good Thursday.
On Thursday. Yeah. It'll probably take 15 minutes, because this will be the only agenda item.
That's the ninth.
I hear the concern that I'm there. I just think, based off, because our timeline is so tight, if everyone else can go Monday, I'm fine with doing it Monday. I just don't want it to put us more in a corner if we're able to get it done.
Can you call in? Can you call in?
No.
No?
I mean, I couldn't call in either. I'm just thinking of a timeline because that just puts us almost another week behind, and if there's something they have to do to prepare, or I don't want that for the group.
All right, we'll go...
go super early Monday. I will drive down super early Monday.
Yeah, we'll just shoot for Monday at 8:30.
Okay. Yeah.
Nine.
8:30.
Okay.
Monday 8:30.
Yeah. Monday 8:30.
Does that mean we have to put that agenda out now?
No, on Sunday. I'll handle that. So, with that said. But thank you guys all, before we close, thank you all for giving your time, effort, all that stuff, because, after Monday's quick board meeting, the school will be open, for our next regular. So I really appreciate all you guys, all your effort, questions. It's good. It's healthy for our board, and, you guys are awesome. So, so with that. The adjournment, it is recommended the board of directors adjourn the special board meeting for August 3rd, 2018. Do I have a motion?
I will make a motion.
Motion Sam, a second.
I'll second.
Is that Melanie?
Yes, sir.
Roll call vote, Samantha Otto.
Aye.
Raquel Rawl.
Aye.
Melanie Choi.
Aye.
Vanessa Okamoto.
Aye.
And Andrew Vesti, aye. Board meeting is adjourned at 9:38 a.m.